The first reading is from Ezekiel 37, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So as I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Romans 12, beginning in the 9th verse. Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil. But give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Before I begin the reading of the gospel, I'd like to extend an invitation for each one of you to become part of it. Today's gospel story is the healing of the paralytic. Imagine what it would be like to be him, laying on a dirt floor, looking up into the eyes of Jesus when he says, your sins are forgiven. And then to be freed of the bonds of this world when he says, pick up your mat, rise, go home. I can't imagine Mike wanting to be anywhere but at the feet of Jesus. My dear friends, the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. The Gospel of our Lord.
Gracious Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would attend the proclamation of your word, that by your grace and your power, we might hear you speak in ways that draw us into the love and life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. On a flight from Atlanta to Chicago in July of 2004, 9 U.S. soldiers who were on a 2-week leave from Iraq were passengers. And before one of the soldiers boarded, one of the passengers who had a first-class ticket gave his ticket to one of the soldiers. And as the other soldiers began to board, other passengers in first class did the same. They exchanged tickets with each of the soldiers, assuring that each of them were seated in first class. Delvilla Evans, a flight attendant for American Airlines, said this, "It was a privilege to be flying with those two groups of unselfish people. First, those who put their life on the line to protect their fellow citizens, and then secondly, those who were not ashamed to say thank you." The Apostle Paul in our Romans 12 passage said, "Outdo one another in showing honor." And what a beautiful picture of that on that American Airlines flight. And in fact, Paul has a lot to say about relationships both within the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ in this Romans 12 passage. Here's what he says about those inside the body of Christ. He says, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Contribute to the needs of the saints, seek to show hospitality, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight." You see, the New Testament knows nothing of an exclusively me and Jesus kind of Christian life. When we follow Jesus, we inevitably are drawn into community. I mean, think about it. When Jesus called the disciples to follow him, he put them in community with one another. And so much of their life and so much of their learning came as they bumped up against one another and competed with one another and tried to outdo one another, not in showing honor, but in one-upmanship. And Jesus put them together, not just because it was convenient to do it, but because that was the central dynamic in discipling them, in growing them up in grace, in growing them up as his followers and in Christ's likeness, and developing them to become ultimately fruitful apostles. The new command he gave was love one another. That was old. The new part of it was, as I have loved you. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. So it's no wonder that the Apostle Paul in this Romans 12 passage calls us to genuinely love. He calls us to this kind of affection, this showing of honor, this contributing to one another's needs, this coming alongside and showing hospitality, this weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice, this living in harmony and humility with one another. Well, what I want to say is, if this was easy to do, I don't think Paul would have been writing it to the Romans. It's a lot easier said than it is done. But everything for Paul and for Jesus, everything seems to rest in the quality of our relationship. It is the way that we grow up in the Lord. It is our witness to the world. It's what the world sees when they look at us. It's a precious gift that we have in this community, one with another. And there's so many people, don't you know, who don't know it, who haven't experienced it. It's the precious gift that we have right here in this room, our relationships, one with another. And Paul didn't. In there, he spoke about our relationships even outside the body of Christ and how important those are. Listen to what Paul says in this same passage of 12. He says, be patient in tribulation, bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse them. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good. It's kind of counterintuitive. It's not what we want to do. Again, if this were easy, Paul wouldn't have been writing it to the Romans. You see, God calls us into relationships, not only with himself, which is the most important relationship, but into relationships with one another. And we can't live out the kind of relationship God's calling us to have with the world if we don't have the resource of the relationships that happen here in the body of Christ. And when we face persecution within our relationships outside, we need the resource of encouragement within the body of Christ to be able to forgive, to bless when we're misunderstood, to bless when we're mistreated, to return good for evil. You see, the whole sweep of the biblical story is from that solitary Adam to the redeemed community, the great throng that is before the Lamb of the throne, the heavenly Jerusalem that's come down to earth. God calls us into community. Relationships are everything. Israel was called to be a community. Israel was called to be God's people. They were called to be a light to the nations. But we know the story. There were times when Israel shone, when they were actually united, when they were together, when they were the community that God desires. But inevitably, if you read the story of the Old Testament, you see that it was a story of disobedience. It was a story of fragmentation. The community that God intended, the community that God called together, fell apart. And it was the prophet Ezekiel who had that vision that we heard today in the reading, that vision of the valley of dry bones, the fragmented and spiritually dead community of Israel. Ezekiel said this, the hand of the Lord was upon me and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and he set me down in the middle of this valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, you know. And that was the story of Israel at that point in their history. They were spiritually dead. They were a valley of dry bones. And what the prophet was seeing, and here's where I want us to make the connection, was that the Lord was up to the very thing that was to happen in this vision of Ezekiel. That promise is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That what was about to happen to those dry bones in that valley happened only because of the incarnation and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul writes, all the promises of God find their yes in Christ Jesus. And this promise, this vision that Ezekiel has, finds its fulfillment for us in the person of Jesus Christ. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover up your skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, O son of man, say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. And so I prophesied, and he commanded me, and the breath came, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. There was a transformation from this valley of very dry bones to this exceedingly great army. And what was it? It was the Word of God and the Spirit of God that brought together the people of God. This vast army before Ezekiel, this promise that God would act, that God would move through the Messiah, through His Son, in order that the people of God, the community of God, might come together. When we think about the bones and the body of Christ and the flesh and the coming together that's happened for us in Jesus. On December 4th, 2017, just over a year ago, 400 musicians gathered in the 23rd Street Armory of Philadelphia to perform what was called a Symphony of Broken Instruments. It was led by a man named David Lang, and the orchestra included amateurs and professionals and even members of the storied Philadelphia Orchestra. The youngest performer was a 9-year-old cellist. The oldest was an 82-year-old oboist. It might have been the most diverse orchestra in America. The 400 brought with them broken instruments, a trumpet held together by blue painter's tape, a violin with no A string, a bow that had lost most of its hair, a cello carried in multiple pieces. They were raising money because funds had been cut for the school's music programs. And they began this orchestra, and the musical piece that opened, at first many instruments were silent, but gradually this orchestra began to find its voice. And while a trumpet may not have been capable of sound, keys were tapped on the trumpet to make the sound of a rhythm. The scraping of a bow over a silhouette of the violin body could add an unusual element. At one point, a cellist made noise by turning a stringless peg. And as this 40-minute symphony progressed, miraculously, all of the instruments roared to life. And some of the musicians struggled, like the clarinetist who could only get out a couple spurts of sound, and a French horn player who kept losing his mouthpiece. But together, This orchestra produced a rich harmony. The music was, they said, playful and joyous. And then they began in parts to bow out of the symphony until they came down to just one lone sound of a clarinet. What a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. Broken instruments, aren't we? That come together and make beautiful music. That come together under the lordship and the conducting of Jesus Christ. And develop a harmony and a sound and a message and a music that the world longs to hear. And all to the praise of the Father. You see, dear friends, relationships are everything. Where would we be? Think about your own life. Where would we be without one another? I think the paralytic in that Matthew 9 story could tell us where he would be without one another. How did he get to Jesus? His friends brought him to Jesus. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own. They took him up on a roof and they tore up the roof. And with this kind of perseverance and this ingenuity, they dropped the paralytic down before Jesus. And Jesus did what only Jesus can do. He began to minister. He not only was ministering to the paralysis of this man, but to his deepest need. That's what Jesus does. That's what God desires. He wants to heal the whole person. And so he said those words, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And why did he do that? Matthew tells us, Mark tells us, the other gospels tell us, because Jesus saw their faith. Did you hear that? It wasn't just the paralytic's faith. It may not have even been the paralytic's faith. What he saw was the faith of these friends who brought him to Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not that of yourself. It is a gift of God. It's not a result of works that no man should boast. What Jesus was looking for, what Jesus found in those friends on that day was not only ingenuity and perseverance, but faith. They trusted that Jesus could heal their friend. And so they brought their friend to Jesus. And Jesus reveals for that paralytic and for us the Father's heart that really is concerned about the deepest needs we have. About offering us that life and that forgiveness and that grace that only Jesus can give. Declaring him forgiven, declaring him right with God. And none of this would have happened without relationships. None of this would have happened without those friends. Who are the friends in your life that brought you to Jesus? Who is Jesus using you now as a friend to bring them to him? The best thing we can do in life, in these relationships, in the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ, is to bring people to Jesus. And we do that in our testimony when we tell our story of who Jesus is for us. And we do it in our prayers when we pray for people. And we do this when we bring folks into the body of Christ, the community of Jesus, in order that they can have the healing and restoration of Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the ultimate friend, isn't he? Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what that paralytic found, and that's what we find in Jesus. Is that he's willing to go to a cross and suffer death and take our place in order that we might step into the healing and the wholeness and the life and the forgiveness and the community of God's people. Thanks be to God. It all comes down to relationships. Let us pray. Holy and gracious Father, we thank you that in your Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed not only your desire to live in abundant and full relationship with us as your children, but that you've connected us one to another in the body of Christ. That through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you have called us into existence. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to step more fully into all of the relationships around us, in the body and in the world, that we might bring one another to the saving gift and life of Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.